in a world of mindless movie cliches. One podcast fights back. Critics are calling it profound, epic, free. Prepare to revisit your video cassette memories of the 1980s and 90s. Behold, it's VHS Rewind.
I got lucky in the rain. One day when I had nothing to do for an hour, I walked around in a shower. I had reason to complain. One moment I was sadly in need of a song. Next moment you came along. Then the heavens smiled at me. My heart said, how lucky can you be? Things like this you can't explain. I only know that I met the love of my life when I got lucky in the rain.
Woody Allen may not be retiring anytime soon, but for over a year now, he has come under fire from the Me Too movement with the resurfacing of allegations made by his adopted daughter, Dylan Farrow. She claims having been molested by him in 1992 when she was seven. At the time, Woody Allen was separating from actress Mia Farrow. Two independent inquiries exonerated him. The current backlash has led to actors distancing themselves from the director and Amazon breaking its four movie deals with him. I was warned that Allen would not comment on this, but I had to give it a try.
Would you like a scoop?
A Rainy Day in New York wasn't released in the U.S. Your actors aren't here to promote the movie. How do you feel about that?
To me, it doesn't matter. I think if the movie's been being released all over the world, if people enjoy the movie, I think it will eventually be released in the United States. If people come and they say, this is boring, I hate this movie, I don't like it, there will be no enthusiasm to release it in the United States. But for me, it doesn't matter. I've already finished another movie. This is, Rainy Day for me is history. I made it a year ago, now thinking of the next movie. You know, I put it out and always hope for the best. I always hope people will like it. If they, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But once I finish it, the fate of the movie is completely out of my hands.
But do you fear that you might never work again in Hollywood with big studios, I mean?
Do I fear? No, I don't fear. I couldn't care less. I've never worked in Hollywood. I always work in New York. And it doesn't matter to me for a second. If tomorrow nobody would finance my films and nobody would finance my theater plays, or nobody would publish my books or anything, I still get up and write because that's what I do. So I will always work. You know, what happens to it commercially is another matter. You know, I've always worked since I was 16, and I continue to work. As I say, I just finished a movie and...
Excuse me, Woody. Let me just interrupt here really quick.
You're dribbling, Woody. You're dribbling.
Welcome to VHS Rewind, where we are going to be discussing films that are either very difficult to find or have been, they're put on the banned list for the most part, right? Let me welcome Christopher Hassler. How are you, Chris?
Hello. Happy New Year. It's not a rainy day here. It's actually snowing.
It's Snowbell. But it's the Snowbell Prize. So we are going to be reviewing a movie that wasn't too much on my radar, to be honest with you. What about you?
Why? Because you're not a Woody fan anymore? You
I have steered a lot away from Woody Allen, not intentionally. I just kind of lost interest in a lot of the stuff that he was doing. And yeah, I've always loved Woody Allen.
I have not been a consistent watcher since at least Deconstructing Harry in 1997. I think that was my last.
Yeah.
My last one in the theater for sure. And yeah, like post Mia, he does have a very spotty record.
You know, Deconstructing Harry had such an interesting, oh no, I was thinking Mighty Aphrodite. Do you remember Mighty Aphrodite?
You know, that was one of the ones I really didn't like around that time.
But it might have been Deconstructing Harry. There was a scene where the guy was complaining that he was out of focus, so he couldn't focus.
That was Deconstructing, yeah.
Oh, it was Deconstructing? And I just thought that was so clever at the time.
It was.
And I loved the whole idea. The character, if people haven't seen it, the character himself is out of focus on the screen, and it's just so... It's done so very well. I have to go back and see how it looks now, but I just remember really thinking, this guy really still has it, and he is responsible for making some of my favorite movies of all time, being, Annie Hall. I love Annie Hall.
Still, I do, yeah.
Manhattan, I think, is a beautiful film. Zelig is always very funny to watch. Almost all of his movies I love, so... This has given me a little bit of faith in his work. So I'm going to go back and start watching it, which is very controversial, right?
For some reason, like, you know, when someone comes under fire for, you know, I mean, we're focusing on some female related thing,
right?
Whether it's Woody with, he's been accused of touching his child, and that went through a court of law, and he was exonerated from that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's not the greatest parent, but I found it hard to believe when it happened. What was that, back in the 90s?
Right.
But now, like, his association with Jeffrey Epstein is coming out.
I've always, ever since this all started, though, I've made a promise to myself to always separate the person, you know, his personal stuff that I really shouldn't even know, to be honest with you. And his work is so opposite. You know, Woody Allen is not somebody who really, it seems like anyway, he doesn't really write about his life. He writes stories of pure fiction.
Right, but they do have particular themes, which this movie is full of. So,
well, let me just say, I just want to preface. So the name of the movie is A Rainy Day in New York, right? I love this movie. I have not enjoyed a Woody Allen movie so much since years and years and years ago.
Wow.
Now, I don't think it's a perfect film by far. It's certainly not.
It's not. Let's put it this way. I'm torn on this one. I
think you loved it. I think at the end of this review, you will go, you know what? Now that I think about it, there's nothing I really disliked about this movie. Except for the wooden acting.
We're going to get to the acting. Oh my God, there are some bad actors in this. Like, it shows when he's not getting the Hollywood talent that he used to.
I feel like I'm watching a rehearsal sometimes in this movie.
It brought back, like, when I lived in New York, you know, I idolized Woody Allen, I idolized living in New York, and it brought back that youthful, you know, that youthful period of my life and dating in New York and the way I saw New York. I still see New York. I still see it this way.
Me too.
I think there are...
Oh, I'm sorry. Hashtag me too. Sorry.
Fuck them. No, you can't say that. They'll shut us down.
They'll take away all 37 listeners.
They're gonna start looking into my past and what I've done. sorry, the girls I dated won't talk. You know that. I know that.
Because they're dead. I killed them.
No, I paid them off and had them sign an NDA.
You don't speak any English. Russians. What? Is this thing on? Hello? Are we recording this? All right. So, it's terrible. I can't believe you.
So, I'm wondering, though, you said you can't separate.
No, I can. I can.
You can.
Yeah, I made a point to.
How can you not? I mean, I believe down deep in my soul that everybody in Hollywood, every artist has got something in their closet.
Absolutely.
Something that they're – everybody's a fucking freakazoid.
But we all are also. You know, people in general.
Yes, me especially.
Yeah, you. I don't even want to think about that. I get gassed just thinking about that. But, you know, but that's it. I mean, we're not perfect. And this is going to sound like a little preachy. So you might want to fast forward, you know, 90 seconds or something. But with this hashtag Me Too thing, which I think was a very powerful – movement where a lot of it gave a platform for women to step forward and bring people like Jeffrey Epstein to light, and you know other abusers to light.
Harvey Weinstein.
I think that it was a very very good and powerful thing. It's become a social justice warrior, PR disaster, and it's kind of a joke now. It's turned into kind of.
They're vigilantes.
And the real shameful thing here is that they're not all vigilantes. But some of them are. And now, you know, just like Donny Osmond says, you know, one bad apple.
Ouch.
Well, he does say that. It doesn't spoil. But it's a shame that, you know, the social justice community needed to step forward and destroy this really powerful thing, this platform. And they wrecked it. It's destroyed. It can never go back. So,
you know, and let's just gonna take a side note. So look, Harvey Weinstein, he's a bad apple. And, you know, also a gross apple. You know, if it was, I'm sure if it was George Clooney coming on to you, you'd be like, they'd be like not complaining. But like this recent movie Bombshell.
I don't know if I agree with that, by the way. I don't want to. My silence is just silent, but I don't agree with you, but I know where you're coming from.
I'm being slightly facetious. I mean, again, there's bad apples. Every guy in Hollywood is going to. What do you think of? Here's another thing. What do you think of? With like what's his name, Leo DiCaprio, who's like 50, dating a 20-year-old. I mean, he's dating a 20-year-old. Why aren't we turning on him?
Well, you know, it's the same reason
because he's like, oh, he's a good looking guy.
Why didn't we turn on David Bowie when he was like dating like a 14-year-old, like banging her in the
Jerry
back
Lee
of
Lewis,
a jet?
We did turn on him.
You know, and that was his cousin too.
That was his cousin. I think that was more cousin that we turned on him than.
Yeah, you're right. It had nothing to do with the age, but you know, rock and roll stars, you know Mick Jagger and all these guys,
everybody.
You know, there were groupies. You know, the movie that dopey groupie movie from the late '90s, with Goldie Hawn's daughter. It's the only way I can remember who divorced Chris Robinson from the Black Rose. I don't know what
almost
her name
famous.
Is. Almost famous.
Jesus, I can't think of her name.
Now, almost.
She's
yes.
hot. I jump. Yeah,
she looks great. It's just she's forgettable, you know, otherwise. But,
she is, yes.
She's no Goldie Hawn. I'm just gonna leave it at that. But, you know, that movie is essentially about those kind of groupies. And, you know, groupies. So there would be 14, 15, 16-year-old girls with, you know, grown men like Mick Jagger who were, like, in their, like, you know, late 20s and 30s. Or was he 108 now? It's a culture that exists out there, and it's not good, but it's acceptable for some reason for some people. Mm. And Woody Allen's not on that list. Apparently. Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. Woody Allen, it's a complicated story with Woody Allen. That's not what this episode's about.
I more believe that Mia Farrow is
insane,
dangerous and insane, and would mess with her kids' minds and have them say these things.
I believe and they believe it.
I believe that too. And yeah. I believe Woody Allen didn't do that to his kid. Now, you know, I read a story somewhere, which I am looking online for and I can't find it, where a woman claimed that she was underage and had three ways with Woody and Mia at the same time.
I don't see Woody doing that, but all right.
I don't know, that kind of thing I do. And that's why I'm going to keep looking for that. But, you know, I don't think anybody is above this kind of thing. I think they all do it. They might do it a little bit more legally than others.
Right.
But, you know, they don't always use – like you say, Mick Jagger, he could have his pick of – or did have his pick of whoever.
Right.
Because they would do it willingly. You know, they did it willingly.
That was it. They idolized him, you know, and – I think that, you know, let's bring in the cause for a moment. You know, he was idolized too. He was a good looking, he was a good looking, very famous African American who was at the top of his game in the late 60s. Whoa.
That was my phone.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. So it's, you know, you take Bill Cosby, you know, and you put him in these situations, and it's hard to imagine, but the guy did come out and kind of admit it. So.
Did he?
I'm pretty sure he did.
So let's, you know, if Woody is, I'm sorry, if Kaz is, again, you know, serial rapist, you know, can we ever watch The Cosby Show again? I don't know. Right. He's in jail now. He's been convicted. I think I do see it on the cable channels.
Yeah, I don't.
Which is funny.
Yeah, it's really funny.
But we're going to look at A Rainy Day in New York as its own film, and we're not going to think about too much.
I don't think there's too much here to analyze, to be honest with you. I think.
Oh, well.
Okay, maybe you'll point it out. I just want to keep in mind that yesterday I was just drinking water and just kind of fighting off the flu while watching this. So But watching the movie just made me kind of feel better. Like it made me kind of have an escape.
I think every scene in this movie has at least a funny line. I laughed out loud.
I love the script. The script is great.
I wouldn't go there because the script has a lot of like scenes and characters that go nowhere. Let's do this.
There's a lot of little jokes, I think. It's like. It feels like a Woody Allen movie to me.
It does. No, I agree. There was one other film where Woody delved into or focused on young people like this age, like early 20s, I'm taking it.
Midnight in Paris, was it?
No. It was called Anything Else, and it had that guy from – what the fuck is his name? You know, from those American Pie movies, Jason somebody or something, Jason Biggs.
Okay.
And Christina Ricci. And this is before Woody got too old. You know, he was old, but not old like we just heard.
What was it called? I'm looking for it.
It's called Anything Else. And I think it was a little bit better because I liked the story of Biggs and Christina Ricci. Even though Christina Ricci is nothing but a sex pot in the movie, and like in this movie, she gets down into her underwear in that movie. I like that movie better, but I do like Rainy Day in New York, even though it's going to sound like, as we go through this, like I hated every aspect of it.
Now listen, in that movie you have Jimmy Fallon, who's, you know, social justice warrior number one, right? He has a credit with Woody Allen. You know, it's just kind of strange. How come we're not demonizing him?
And I don't like the fact that
I don't like to demonize people based on association either. So
yeah, but I also don't like the fact that some stars of this movie, Rainy Day in New York, like have spoken out and said, "I'm never going to work with Woody again." And
Who said that?
Timothy, what's the lead guy in this thing? you know, donated his movie, his
Chalamet. Yeah, Timothy Chalamet.
And I don't like him in this movie, and I'm going to rip him a new one right now.
Well, he's the weakest link here, so there's no doubt about it.
I'm going to agree with you for the most part. And then the guy, the lady who played Jude Law's wife, she's very like hysterical about it. Like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. It's the biggest regret of my life to do this role. And her role in this movie is
the laughing girl, right?
No. She was, the one who they have the argument with out on the sidewalk. Jude Law is
that little scene.
That's what I mean about like these characters are introduced. It's Rebecca Hall, this like, you know, well-known actress. You think she would show up again. She never shows up again. And this is
Hold on, wait. That was Jude Law?
That's what I said. He's like bald. And I'm like, what? I have to go.
I am blown away right now. He was like a sex pod at some point, wasn't he? Whoa. He was in the AI. He was like a male model.
He was gorgeous.
Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow and The Aviator.
And now he's like this bald guy. I was like you. I was like, who the fuck is that?
Well, I didn't even think. I thought he was a different actor entirely, to be honest with you. Holy cow. Now that's really shocking. Because I'm like, Jude Law, and like, there must be another Jude Law, and I just clicked it, and I'm like, what? So that little tiny scene with her was the worst decision she's ever made in her whole life.
Exactly.
In a movie that nobody's going to see. Wow.
And that's what I mean.
A good life.
And let's be honest and well-balanced. There are actors who said they would work with Woody again. Scarlett Johansson, who frankly is hotter than Rebecca Hall. And what's that guy's name? The guy.
Well, Dylan Farrow criticized Scarlett Johansson for defending Woody Allen.
And Scarlett Johansson was like,
who's Dylan Farrow? Yeah, Scarlett Johansson's pretty awesome in a lot of different ways. She, like, you know, she looks incredible, but she's a good actress as well.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
And Javier Bardem said he would work with Woody again. He believes Woody. So, you know, just that's why we want to look at this movie as much as possible on its own merits as opposed to the film of a dirty old man. So
I also want to
play a dirty old man.
Not to totally dwell on Dylan Farrow and the lack of, I guess, social acceptance in her life, but I went on her Twitter feed here. It's at Real Dylan Farrow because somebody wants to duplicate it. But it's she's essentially – her whole thing is just talking about this. She's obsessed with Scarlett Johansson. I mean, she literally tweeted this 15 minutes ago.
What? She doesn't have
to get her on the call because she doesn't have really any followers. She should be on with us.
She doesn't have to work a day in her life.
She never had to. Yeah.
She lives off Mia's money, and Mia is the one who's probably right in all of this shit.
She was born rich and she'll die rich and she'll never have to worry about a bill. And it's not to say she couldn't have been raped and molested and all of this, but it doesn't really add up fully at the end of the day. So, and you're just obsessed. Get some help.
She's nutso.
Yeah. It's a shame because you look at that, though, and it's like you have the person out there screaming their heads off and, like, you know, all this stuff. And then there's the person who is going through the real shit, you know, who it really is happening to. And nobody's paying any attention to them because we have, you know, a work of fiction possibly going on here. But we don't know because we're talking about insane people who may or may not be making up something. So what do? We question the person who has no reason to lie whatsoever. And that's where we fall into a very, very dark corner. And that's called Believe All Women. And it's one of these movements that's very, very scary because it's abused. So there, the end.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not. Look, this went through a court of law, this Dylan Farrow thing, and he was exonerated. So,
but it doesn't mean anything anymore. You know, it's
no, I know. Well, she can just keep crying,
yeah,
and crying. And again, I believe, without as much evidence as I have that Woody did it, I would believe sooner that Mia Farrow is just a nut job.
Now, the really sad thing is, I think, and we'll get into the movie in just a moment, but the more gory details and the more detail that comes and the more you share with yourself with this like imaginary public that's listening, the more they pay attention to you. And it's that you become, I mean, there was no chance that she was going to become a real celebrity. I mean, look at her. And
oh,
she's one of these people that nobody really cares about. I mean, she would have been in movies by this point. Maybe she is, and maybe I'm completely wrong.
I don't think so.
It's just a matter of she has nothing else but this, and this is who she identifies as, and it's kind of sad. You know, and the more she puts out there, the more people are going to give her a little, virtual loves. Each click, each like, each time you like something, he's getting a little hug from strangers. You know, I want the acceptance of people on Twitter.
It's ironic that her brother, Ronan Farrow, is the one who pretty much, I wouldn't say he started the Me Too movement, but he brought down Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Brought all of his accusers.
He's a writer, right? He's a journalist.
He's a journalist. Yeah. And,
wonder how he got the job.
Because he's Frank Sinatra's son. That's
exactly.
That.
He is. We got to get the DNA done. That's.
But maybe he should turn his journalistic skills towards looking into this story. I mean, he probably knows what's going on anyway. He's got something in his closet.
Yeah. All right. Let's hope it's not another cut of Annie Hall that will ruin everything, just kind of destroy my memories.
How about the fact that Woody's movie Manhattan is about him having a relationship with an underage girl?
Yeah, that's right.
Why didn't anybody, like, this is 19, what was that, 78? 79?
Yeah, it was about that. Yeah,
it came out.
77,
like,
but
nobody
yeah.
said anything all these years.
I did when I first saw it, and I just thought, it's because it's socially accepted that, and even today, it's kind of like, men don't wear makeup, men get more refined with age, women have to, get, body tucks and all this kind of stuff. It's crazy. The world is crazy. The beauty myth, it's kind of like the first thing that you read about when you take some type of postmodern class somewhere, you learn all about it. It's amateur hour when it comes to all of this. And, to ban this movie, which is really a harmless film, I think.
It is. I mean, in the end, I'm taking a breath as I say this. It's a harmless movie, but again, if you're going to – here's how I'm rationalizing it. First of all
– Second of all
– It's directed by – look, when you're 80 years old –
85. Yeah.
You're stuck in your ways, Yeah. Is he running on creative exhaustion? Maybe. Does he have, when my dad was old, he had old world views. You know what I mean? I mean, he just had some,
It's you and me right now. Are you kidding? We're the old men.
I believe him now. I'm like, Dad, I understand now. but the thing is, so you say it's harmless. How do you look at a movie where the lead girl, who is 21, she says she's 21, but she's alternately pursued or pursues older men? In one instance, it's for a sexual thing. Diego Rivera, I forget what his name is in the movie, but you know, he like freaking jumps on her when he's got her in his apartment, but she's into it.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Mm-hmm. Every woman in this story there's a hooker. There's an actual hooker.
Two actual hookers.
There's two. Right. I was going to say like Gatsby. That's our lead male
character.
Should
we play some clips? I think we should.
Yeah. Let's just set up.
Yeah.
Why they're going to New York, and that's like Q3, and listen and watch Gatsby and Timothy Chalamet is his name, the mm-hmm. actor. I thought, you know, he's dressed like Woody. He's in a tweed jacket. You know, he's the Woody stand-in.
Yeah.
And from an acting point of view, just like he starts doing like physical mannerisms in a way, mm-hmm. and he does it poorly. And then as a character, I think he treats this girl horribly.
Yo, totally, man.
He's this movie. Horribly.
From beginning to end. And, you know.
He claims in a clip we're not going to play, but he claims I'm hopelessly in love with her. But listen as he dominates and dictates what's going to happen when they take this trip.
Right. All right, here we go.
It's all about him. And I was like, man, the actor does not have – I don't feel like he has the light touch for this material. And so like he's playing it a little too
– Right, it's like rehearsal.
I put that in quotes. Yeah. You know, he's a rebel. Like he's more Holden Caulfield than Gatsby, but that's not what you want here. I thought this was going to be a funny thing. And – it is odd that he treats this woman so terribly. Now, can I just say one thing about the girl?
Elle Fanning.
Elle Fanning?
Yeah.
Look, she's playing like a Gracie Allen dunderhead, and she's blonde, and she's got this short skirt on through most of the movie.
She's very cute.
Cute. I think she's cute. I think she overplays that role a little bit, but mm-hmm. I like her. I don't like her story throughout this thing, and we'll get to why in a sec. But
that's another thing is I don't really like I don't like anyone in this movie as a person. I think they're all spoiled, brats.
That's true. But when Selena Gomez shows up,
oh yeah, I like her. Yeah,
we're playing every clip she's in because she's pitch perfect. She knows how to say the lines. She keeps it light. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She is. I was like,
she was solid role. Absolutely, I didn't know it was her. I don't know who Selena Gomez really is.
Yeah,
she's a singer.
I thought she was like a Disney person or something.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But here we go.
Hopelessly in love with Ashley.
I got an interview with Roland Pollard.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. How did you land that?
Well, he has a new movie coming out this fall, mm-hmm. and the assignment originally went to Priscilla McCain, but she's totally got mono, so I'm doing it.
Gee, mono's like a 2-credit course at this school. Well, listen,
good
Ashley,
line.
I think this is
good line.
Yeah, he nailed that, but I'm wondering if the cockiness then moves, you know. I'm just going to let it play through.
Yep.
For you. When is it?
I'm going to go back. Priscilla McCain, but she's totally got mono, so I'm doing it.
Gee, mono's like a 2-credit course at this school. Well, listen, Ashley, I think this is great for you. When is it?
It's the 28th of this month, mm-hmm. a Saturday.
Okay. And it's on campus?
Mm-mm. It's in Manhattan.
Manhattan? Are you serious? This is fantastic. We're always talking about going into Manhattan for a special weekend. Okay. Look, I'm going to make a reservation at the Carlisle. It's the place I'm always telling you about with the piano player at the bar. He sings those old Broadway tunes. And I'll take you out for lunch and dinner. How does that sound? Maybe I'll show you around the city?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, it'll cost a fortune.
Nah, relax. I'm loaded. I scored 20 big ones last Sunday.
Not another crap game.
No. Stud poker this time. Sitting there with 3 tens and some guy with aces up keeps raising me.
How do you get all the money to play in such a big poker game?
Yeah, my horse came in this weekend. I'm telling you, this is why I gotta go to Vegas. I'm a gambler. I don't know how else to put it.
Gosh, I've always wanted you to have to show me around Manhattan.
No, this is gonna be absolutely fantastic. I'm gonna maybe get in touch with my dad's ticket broker. He can get us tickets to Hamilton. How does that sound? Actually, I don't want to let my parents know I'm in town that weekend.
Oh, why not?
My mother's having her big annual fall gala, and she's apoplectic. I'm not coming. I told her I had a major paper due. Otherwise, I have to put in an appearance, and it's like death. It's like having drinks with 100 bullshit people, not one of which has ever been turned down by a co-op.
I can't believe it. An interview with the director of Winter Memories.
Hey, didn't we see Winter Memories together on our first date? I think so.
I'm just so excited. I mean, you have to help me come up with the list of profound questions to ask him. I don't want to come off like a twit.
You're not going to come off like a twit. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, we can't stay at the Carlisle. It's too close to my parents' house. But I want you to have a park view. You know what? We're going to stay at the Pierre. That way you can have a park view. It's a safe distance from my parents' house. And then after dinner, we're going to go to the Carlisle. We'll go to the bar and spend some time there. It's very old New York. I really love it. The murals are by Ludwig Bemelmans.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I've only been to Manhattan twice, you know. Once when I was 2, and then once when I was 12. All I remember is we got incredible bargains. I mean, my parents could not believe that you could buy a Birkin bag and a Rolex on a blanket off the street.
So, what's weird is there's a couple things here. One, I didn't notice it before, but that's all one shot.
Yep.
No edits. And I have a feeling Woody was like, you know what? Just leave it. Let's do it. You know? But you know, it's not a short scene, so I'm going to give them extra credit for that. She's loaded, we learn. Like, really
loaded.
Everybody's
loaded. Everybody's loaded. This movie does not take place in any world you or I know.
No.
Okay, but no, it's also not reality. I mean, if you're rich and this age, college kid, in school, you're not acting like this. You're not.
No. I think his biggest downfall is that he's too young for the role. I think maybe somebody a little bit older or more mature should have been this character.
Someone lighter. Like I don't think he pulls off most of this movie. So although there's one scene we're going to play that's my favorite, he gets all sensitive and sings a song on a piano, and I was like, "Oh, you're so cute. I would sleep with you now."
Yeah, exactly. But that's another thing. She's concerned about money in a weird way, right? So it just doesn't make a lot of sense, the money thing. And they take a bus to New York.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. Like, the name of the college is made up. It's called Yardley.
Yeah.
But where they're coming from, I don't know.
Where would you think? I mean, if you're taking, I would think this was upstate maybe or something.
Right, which would take a couple of hours, right? Yeah. At least 4 or 5. I think there's a scene later on where he describes it when he's at the mother's party, like being like, it's always snowy and stuff. So I was thinking like up by, I don't know, Binghamton or something.
Right. Utica, or Connecticut.
Ithaca
or something,
yeah.
But either way, you know, it's strange for him to not have his own car. And, a lot of stuff here that's kind of strange.
A lot of this movie is them not communicating, even though they have cell phones.
Right.
Like they rarely pull out their. They don't even text. They use the phone literally to call all the time, and then not call. Like I don't know about your wife, but my wife has her phone glued to her hand.
Right, right.
There are girls in my office. They carry the phone everywhere they go in the office.
Yeah, they do.
Cell phone. Like, I'm like, are you so important or something? Like,
That's another thing, you know, with an Apple Watch, that'll ring. You know, it's like if you don't have your phone on you, the watch will ring. It's crazy.
I know.
So we,
that's what I mean. It's made by an 85-year-old guy who probably doesn't use a cell phone.
Right, right.
He's probably still got a roller.
Well,
he
probably
dial.
He understands the flip phone, but not really the text thing, you know. So this is like up to 2003, you know.
So they're going to New York because the girl is a journalist for the school paper, and she's interviewing this director whose next movie he's working, you know, he's working on his next movie. And the director is played by Liv Schreiber.
Yeah.
Like, not a a guy known for being light.
No, like, yeah, really, really intense guy.
And he's not light in this movie. And I'm like, you know, he's a drag on it. And then later on, he develops a crush on the girl. And you're like, you know, I don't know. It could rub you the wrong way if you didn't give the director.
Well, I think that's honest.
85.
I see this as being a very, very honest and true to life type of scenario. You know, you get this young, pretty, you know, you get a young pretty girl who's looking up to you and you're
going. I have no doubt that it happens.
Yeah.
I wish Liv was a bit more like, you know, just like approachable instead of being just like, you know, a drunk douche.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be kind of like, you know, the tortured filmmaker. I don't know who he's supposed to represent, who I could compare him to.
Nobody's
like that, really, you know.
I'm
Tarantino? I don't know.
Good grief, no.
No, but, you know, he, you know, wants people to think he's tortured, so. So we get to New York.
And they split up because she's going to meet the director and they're thinking, oh, it's going to be about an hour and we'll meet back here.
Now, also, when we get to New York, I love the shots of New York.
Oh, my God. This thing is gorgeously shot.
And we worked right down the street. They showed Dean and DeLuca.
Yes.
And we used to work like a block away from there.
Like right down that block.
And it was like, you know, it was just like when we worked there. You know, it looked the same, really. So that's really kind of cool.
The movie is shot by the guy who shot Apocalypse Now, Vittorio Storaro.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous. Every interior is gorgeous.
Yeah. I love the way it looks. It really is gorgeous. A lovely movie just to physically sit there and watch.
This is what I mean. Like it's a New York that I am romanticizing from my youth. So I'm giving it that pass that other people are not gonna have that same reaction.
Do you think that people are just so hung up on the story behind the guy who made it that they're not willing to actually look at the art that's created?
They are.
We are.
In some cases, but I'm not sure if we can. Like, you know, we're gonna have a rougher go of it with our next film, which we're not going to discuss yet.
No, it's under wraps. But it's another inspired by Woody Allen type of movie, I think.
But and now, again, looks great. I don't want to follow the girl, which is unusual because, again, we thought she was kind of cute.
Right.
If overdoing it a little bit with that breathy, naive shtick of hers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not her fault. It's that the situations, this director dude, don't care about him. Then he leaves and she veers into a few scenes with Jude Law, who is having problems in his marriage, and he literally just sees his wife on the street and they park outside. I'm like, and this goes nowhere. The director has no bearing on the story except to lead her. You know, it's a reason for her to go from here to here to here, even though the director's not in each one, Jude Law is not in each one, and it adds up to nothing.
Did you notice that the rain was fake most of the time?
Oh, yeah. I always see the sun in the
in the background. Yeah, it's a beautiful sunny day, and it's just like you're like, pouring rain.
It's a sun shower?
Constantly? Constant sun showers.
There's a scene that we're going to get to because we have to play it because it's a problem. Where he's been walking in the rain, goes to his brother's house.
Which is another house that's just so nice.
I know. And he's like dry on the inside. Remember when Jaws 4 came out, mm-hmm. and there was a scene where Michael Caine was in the water and then he supposedly comes out of the water and he's
Jaws 4?
Jaws 4.
Yeah, I skipped that.
The Revenge.
I haven't seen that.
It's the same here. Like, he's been walking, Gatsby's been walking in the rain, goes to his brother's house, and he's inside, and he's not wet. He's dry as a...
Wet at first, and then he cuts, you know, the cutscene. He's dry enough to sit on their, you know, sofa. Very strange. But I did like the, you know, the brother is boozing it up immediately, which I just thought was kind of strange. Not strange, but it was like letting us know a little bit about this character. And he lets us in on why he's starting to get cold feet over this girl.
Right. I mean, so again, every woman has got something wrong with them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And in this case, the brother's fiance has this laugh that turns him off.
And the laugh is really not great.
It isn't. But and it's funny too. It comes out. Later
do you have a clip for the laugh? Actually,
for the laugh.
Yeah.
Hold on. I can
find it really fast.
Yep. Hold on. Where is the laugh? I think it's.
Oh, here we go.
Yes, G14.
This is them. This is the end of that scene that we were talking about where he confides with
Gatsby,
that the laugh. He's like, I can't make love to her. I don't love her.
He can't marry her. He
can't marry her.
The marriage.
I love her, but I can't marry her, Gatsby. I won't be able to have sex with her.
No. You mean you don't want to marry her, so you're focusing on this laugh insanity.
Spare me the fruit of your Upper East Side talking, Cure. Listen to her laugh. When she comes down, we'll get her to laugh. See what I mean?
Oh, and I'm sorry. We're interrupted by...
That's good. We needed that.
Yeah, that actually...
We needed the...
All right, so here we go.
Creighton said, lady, I haven't eaten in three...
He's trying to tell jokes. He's telling the worst jokes I've ever heard. So here we go.
I tried them on my kids.
Yeah. They're Woody Allen jokes, you know, which is kind of funny. I'm going to play it.
From 1962.
Right.
Hey, that's my cue. Hunter, lovely to see you as always.
So thank you for the coffee.
I heard one more.
Sure.
A homeless man stopped a Jewish mother on the street and said, lady, I haven't eaten in 3 days. And she said, force yourself.
Gatsby turns. This is the best. It's one of my favorite scenes, actually. He turns and listens, and you just see him kind of go, I get it now. He doesn't say that, but you can just that's pure Woody Allen right there.
But again, he's having this, you know, reaction to this woman who's not like meeting his, I don't know, like not meeting his expectations or something. He does this with like before when Ashley said the thing about the bags off the blanket for $200, he's like, oh my God, she's an idiot.
Right.
You know,
right.
He's got that look, and I know maybe it's meant to convey he's not really in love with her. He just thinks he's in love with her. Mm-hmm. But I was like, man, you're a douche. You're a douche.
Yeah, he kind of is. He's the kind of guy who is, I'm going to say I was this guy for a period of time without the money. You kind of like are the bad boyfriend, and you're just kind of a jerk, and then your heart gets broken and you didn't realize that, you know, what a dick you were. And you make, you know, you kind of make a change and you meet the right person and things are easier and you don't make those errors again.
So can we meet, I kept calling her Shan. I meant to look it up, like what her real name is, but if we could play Q10, this is where Selena Gomez comes in. Listen to her delivery. She gets it. She's great. I'm in love. I'm going to watch everything. She also...
Has she done other movies?
I have no idea. I'm going to look her up. But...
she's awesome in this. She's my favorite in this. One of my favorites, yeah.
She does put on a short skirt, too. But she looks great. Holds her own. I'm like in love with this girl in this movie.
Yeah. Keep it in your pants, old man.
How old is she? This, I have no idea. I would have to look
She's older, I think. But all right, here we go.
Hey, Gatsby.
Josh.
Hey, how are you? Man, nice to see you.
It's good to see you. Look, I just ran into Alvin Trolley. He told me you were shooting a short film down here. I thought I'd stop by.
It's my term project. It's nothing big. How's Yardley? Is that where you are?
It's okay. I'm not really liking it too much. I'd rather be going to school in the city, but You know my mother, if it's not the perfect image, she bites down on that cyanide capsule she keeps for special emergencies.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't know that. The only thing I remember about them is that they had that fundraiser for Jeb Bush, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So listen, how are you? How's life? What's going on here? What are you doing?
Just out here trying to create a modern film noir classic. That's
okay. All right.
Do you want to be in it?
No.
By the way, this is so New York. It's not even funny. Like, you know, I'm just out here just trying to make a modern noir, you know, classic film, whatever you said. It's just ridiculous. And you got the BMW like out there for the shot. It's so pretentious.
Come on, man.
No.
We're just light on extras. We have
right.
all these people who are no-shows.
Listen, I'm not
we don't
an
have
actress.
To talk or anything. Seriously, you just get in the car, and then on action, you let the girl out. That's it.
Okay, I don't have to talk?
None.
Okay.
Zero words.
All right, I can handle that.
Okay, there we go. You remember Chan, don't you?
Chan Tyrell.
Hi.
Yeah, you're Amy's little sister, right?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Should we do this?
Yeah, go ahead. I like that coat, actually. No, keep that on.
Hey, listen, I hear your older sister's at Vassar now, right?
Yeah, I'm a political science major. Can you believe it? I mean, Amy never heard the news that Lincoln was shot.
My God, Chan Tyrell, this is insane. And you were a little girl, and now you're actually a young woman.
You're not going to start singing Gigi, are you?
I'm not going to start singing
so
Gigi.
So here's the story. She's totally mad with lust, and she can't let go of you. So she kisses you, and then she bursts away.
Chan Tyrell, incidentally, I apologize in advance for ruining your scene. I'm not an actor.
Oh, I'm not an actress either. I'm just helping out a friend.
And we kiss?
Yeah, that's why I never wanted to be an actress. You got a fake passion with all kinds of weirdos.
Thank you.
Yeah, never mind. Just kiss me so I can really feel it in my toes.
I used to kiss your older sister. Did she ever say anything about that or no?
I don't know. I don't recall. I think maybe she said you were a four.
A four?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe
she
a six.
She was a four?
Maybe a six. I can't recall.
See, she's also somebody, I'm going to say, that Woody Allen fell in love with, right? I mean, mm-hmm. She's clearly the kind of woman that Woody Allen would have dated and went head over heels for in the 70s. Her delivery is perfect. Her everything is really kind of perfect. She's like Diane Keaton on steroids.
She's good.
Yeah,
She's good.
She is. I'll continue playing this.
Yeah, it's almost over.
Just this kiss. I want it to be hot. If we're gonna do it, let's do it right.
Good work ethic.
Thank you.
And action.
He's like a mannequin.
Cut.
Hey, are you going to keep your mouth closed?
I have a girlfriend, Chan. I don't think I could do this. I'm sorry. I think I froze.
You have a girlfriend? Who's your girlfriend?
Her name's Ashley. She's from Yardley. Well, she's from Tucson originally.
Tucson? You're dating a girl from Arizona.
Do I have your permission?
What do you guys talk about? Cactus?
Rattlesnakes.
Wow. Arizona. That'll be great for your asthma.
I don't have asthma.
It's funny, when we were kissing, I thought I heard you wheezing.
You know, I always remembered you as a very snotty kid.
Ready?
Yeah, well, what are you up to now?
I'm studying design at the Fashion Institute.
Oh, that's unique.
Rolling.
Scene 19, take 2.
Action. Cut. It's better.
Josh, he's way too uptight to open up his mouth. Hey, are you still seeing that shrink?
Give me a break, or I was just taking a walk. He asked me to help out, all right? I've never acted before.
Scene 19, take 3.
Action.
Josh, it's starting to rain.
And cut. Great.
See? I knew you could do it.
Hey,
and
Josh.
I won't tell your girlfriend.
Hey, Josh, you liked it? You want a different version?
No, I gave you no. We're good with that version. That's the version. We're sticking with that. Okay.
All right.
And she's like, you want to do it again?
Wait, you want to just keep playing? Because
yeah, sure. I was looking. Where? I didn't know if you wanted to end a certain.
Just another funny joke at the expense of women coming up.
Well, have fun in Arizona. And whatever you do, don't get lost in the desert and die of thirst.
I'll be sure to bring a canteen.
Oh, don't fall in the Grand Canyon, too. It's really deep.
No, keep going.
She always was the pain in the ass kid sister. How could she not be? Amy was gorgeous and so sexually advanced. Word on Amy was she performed oral sex at a bar mitzvah. I think they should make that part of every Jewish holiday. Certainly beats fasting. It's also a great way to celebrate the Jewish New Year. What a great Hanukkah gift.
All right.
What a great Hanukkah gift. Oh, man. I missed that. That's funny. But that was another beautiful shot where he's talking. Where he's passing Café Wa.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I want to go back to New York right now.
Yeah, and until you get there, right? It's like, meh.
It's kind of expensive, and I can't afford to live here. I can't even afford to visit.
Right.
The hotels are too damn expensive.
Everything's too expensive in New York, period. Just New York State. Enough. So we kind of covered the brother,
right? Hold on, we're just gonna play every scene with Chan in it because
sure, yeah,
she's because I don't care about anything that Ashley goes through. The situations are so.
I think they're fun, but I understand what you're saying. They're not important, but I think it's really kind of funny to see how her day. She's getting invited to see an advanced screening of this film from this director.
Right.
So
right. Then she gets to go to a party.
But she has to constantly cancel on Gatsby.
Yep.
And it's just like, well, you know, we had reservations and well this, well that. And he's just being basically thrown to the side.
So if you want to play Q19, that's where Chan comes back, where they catch a cab. Again, she's great. 19?
This is real rain. It's just pouring.
That looks like real rain to you?
I think. Right now it does, but let me see it when it starts.
Taxi!
Oh. A car drove in the background and the windshield wipers aren't even on.
Oh my God,
hey.
Sam! What are you doing here? What the hell? Hey, you take it. I'll get the next one.
Are you sure? I'll drop you.
Hey, where you going?
Oh, you remember the same Fifth Avenue joint.
I remember your apartment well from my days with Amy.
And I remember you calling for her. My parents kept warning her about you.
Warning? Why the hell they'd be warning her?
Because on a first date, you took her walking in the rain, and she got bronchial pneumonia.
For Christ's sake, I'm never going to get over this. You can't get it from being wet.
Don't yell at me. I thought it was romantic.
That's because it is romantic. It's a romantic gesture.
That's what I'm saying.
Always tell it to Ashley. She thinks I'm nuts.
Who's Ashley? The rodeo queen you're dating?
She's not a cowgirl. She comes from one of the biggest banking families in Tucson. She was a debutante, actually. She came out.
She came out? Is she gay?
No, she's not gay. She's charming and beautiful. And we were supposed to have this goddamn weekend in the city together, and suddenly she's bogged down with all these interviews for the school paper.
She's ambitious. You should find that admirable.
It's supposed to be one tiny little lousy hour interview. Instead, you know, lost the whole goddamn weekend.
Will you just relax? I don't really know why.
I'm having a hard time relaxing, Chan, because this was going to be a special weekend. Instead, I'm out here in the, you know, wandering the streets like Hager in the goddamn desert or something.
Well,
I just want to say, she's really good in the scene. But he's terrible.
He's not the right. He's not doing it at the right pitch, you might say.
Yeah, like his voice is just a little high. Also, I mean, I know what you're saying. He's just not the right. I feel like I'm watching a screen test or something.
Maybe I've just been primed to look for the true Woody stand-in. Like there, you know, a couple of movies. You know, remember when Celebrity, it was Kenneth Branagh who did like a Woody Allen impersonation. It was pitch perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's always had these Jason Biggs. He did the same kind of neurotic but funny Jewy comedian type of thing.
Yeah.
But he is not – I mean he's just
not
doing
even Jewish.
Something different.
He's a wasp or something.
I love his hair. I want to get hair.
Oh, yeah. I think his hair is good.
I want to get that haircut.
His hair is probably the best part of his entire role. But you know what it is? There's another thing. He's not really neurotic enough.
No, he's not.
He's an egomaniac and he's a narcissist, but he's not much of
And you need to make that funny to make it acceptable. Otherwise, the Me Too people are just going to rip you apart.
Yeah. All right. So here's some more Selena.
I just want to say, Selena, like, lost a few points suddenly because it turns out she dated Justin Bieber at some point. So,
well, I think that was like a music career type of thing.
Tell me, tell her. Tell her to get her priorities straight. You want to drink some wine, walk in the rain, and give her bronchitis.
Okay. Look, she's apparently onto a very big story. She takes her job very seriously, all right?
Fine, then get over it.
I'm in the process of getting over it.
Unless you're worried somebody's hitting on her.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. Is she interviewing attractive men?
I haven't really thought about it. I don't know. Some might say they're interesting.
Well, then maybe you better step in and assert yourself.
You think I gotta be more demanding?
I would.
This is actually one of my favorite scenes in the movie. I love how this character, how she eggs him on to do things and stuff and get him like all, like she's really playing him like a fiddle. Mm-hmm. And I love it when he finally makes the call and she's coaching him on the phone. Kind of funny.
These are like movie big shots she's hanging out with, like
suits.
Yeah, it's a director and a screenwriter.
Artists. They're usually passionate.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, you're right. I gotta call her now.
I mean, the sooner the better.
You think there's that much of a rush?
I don't know.
Oh, Christ. All right. All right, so your idea. So what do you think I should say?
There's nothing you can say.
Looks like the sun is outside the window.
It is. It's like blinding. I just love her, like how he's dialing, the phone is ringing, and she's basically telling him that there's nothing you can really say without sounding like a lunatic.
That's it.
Christian, you just encouraged me to call her, and now I'm asking for your help, and you tell me there's nothing I can say?
You're so wishy-washy. I mean, now that I see your MO, I know exactly why Amy 86'd you.
Oh, no. Amy didn't dump me. I got sick of seeing her.
Yeah, because every time you'd call and I'd say it was you on the phone, she'd wave her arms and say, I'm not in. Hey, Gatsby.
Hey, Ashley. Listen, look, I know you're very busy. That's why we came to New York, right? And no one has more respect for honest ambitions than I do.
Do I have to listen to this without an air sick bag?
I can't talk to you right now. I'm kind of involved in a situation.
We had a number of things planned for today.
I'm very busy right now, but I really can't explain it over the phone.
Ashley, we were talking about one movie interview. What could possibly be so secretive about that? What's so CIA?
Unless there's some funny business going on.
Unless there's some funny business going on.
I'll talk to you later. Bye, Gatsby.
All these goddamn cell phones are...
I don't know. To me, it sounds dubious to the max.
Yeah, it sounds dubious to you because you have a sinister mind.
You must really love her.
I do. She's a breath of fresh air. She's charming and delightful. She's pretty. She's sexy somehow again. At the same time. She's
what?
There's the sun again.
It's blinding. You know, I kind of got this little vibe now from
Ashley.
Kind of like a Drew Barrymore a little bit. But not as... Yeah, Drew Barrymore
right.
was
like,
a better actress.
Drew could do this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like Elle in this. Elle Fanning. I think she's doing she's going too much with the breathy.
No, yeah, it's,
you know, she's not really shaping this into like a real character. It's just it's going to stay one note throughout the whole thing. But
yeah.
I like you said, she's cute. Yeah. She's adorable. I just hate her storyline.
I'm going to let this. Oh, well, we're done about here.
Yeah, I think that's the end of Chan.
So then Ashley and Jude, Jude Law, which is just so funny. They talk about Gatsby, which I think is funny. You kind of made this note about how he has a touch of Asperger's.
Right. And I thought, oh, that's what the problem is. That's how I thought he was playing the character, but I don't think so.
Should I play that? I mean, it's kind of a funny little thing because the way she's describing him is like not. I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, you know what, Chan?
Yeah.
I'm going to get out of here, too.
Ah. I messed up. This is Shannon's apartment. Should we play this?
Yeah, again, just their dialogue, but I do want to play the song because I like when he sings okay. the song.
What are you doing now?
Why?
Why? Because I got a little bit of time to kill and I thought about going to the Modern Museum, look at the Ouija exhibit.
Oh, I see. You got nothing better to do, so you want me to keep you company?
You know what? Forget it. I dated your older sister. You always had a little bit of an attitude. Okay, I'm not looking for any trouble.
I've got to check out some paintings at the Met for fashion class if you want to keep me company.
I don't know why you couldn't just, Fine. It'll be fun. We can get on each other's nerves.
All right, let me change. I'm soaked. Are you hungry? I'd give you an Arizona lunch, but we're all out of beef jerky.
And they go into the nicest apartment. This is like where Michael J. Fox lived in that short-lived sitcom. Holy cow.
I mean, it's got marble columns, okay? This is like, this isn't an apartment building? Give me a break.
Yeah.
Look at those curtains.
It's just insane.
Oh, boy. Bring back a lot of memories.
My folks are in East Hampton for the weekend.
Yeah, how come you didn't go?
I've got a date tonight.
You?
Don't be so startled. It turns out I'm desirable.
Yeah? Who's the unfortunate victim?
You wouldn't know him. He's a girlfriend's dermatologist.
Romantic. Don't forget to show him those three irregular black moles on your back. I'm sure they're nothing.
I really hope I don't regret not going to the Hamptons. Mm-hmm. The beach is so pretty in the rain, too.
Would you have to be with your parents?
So what? I love my parents. You know them. As they're fun. Don't you have fun with your parents?
Nah, fun's not the word I would use.
All right, I'll be right back.
Hey, listen, can I play your piano?
Yeah, go ahead. It's a family heirloom.
What a weird thing to say about a piano, but so yeah, he's going to sit down and he's going to play this song. And it's like, you know, it's like a Steinway. It's like a $40,000 piano. You know, it's just, you know, oh, you don't have one?
I have a piano, but it doesn't look anything like this. It doesn't play like this either. It's out of tune.
Yeah, it's just to tune these things is a fortune. This is another thing. All right. This is a very minor thing. But one thing I noticed is I liked the fact that he had to turn on the lamp.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears it's not like an LED bulb. It's like a regular warm yellow bulb. And I just thought that it made the room look really, really kind of natural and homey almost. I can't really explain it. But little things like that, that, you know, nowadays everything is like remote controlled. And for him to actually have to turn the lamp on, I thought was something nice.
You want to talk about making a room look homey? Look, watch when he plays, like, the shots of Chan in her room, because that room, like, it's got a little sofa in it.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous. In addition to the bed.
It's like, what?
I make a day for golf, and you can bet your life it rains. I try to give a party and the guy upstairs complains. I guess I'll go through life just catching colds and missing trains. Everything happens to me. I never miss a day. I've had the measles and the mumps. And every time never looks before he jumps. Oh, everything happens to me. At first I thought that you could break this jinx for me, and that love would turn the trick to end despair. But now I just can't fool this head that thinks for me. So I've mortgaged all my castles in the air. Whoa, I've telegraphed and phoned, sent an airmail special too. Your answer was goodbye. There was even postage due.
I fell in love just once, and then it had to be with you. Everything happens to me.
That's pretty.
I love a cocktail lounge piano. Outside, a drizzle, gray. New York City enveloped in a light mist. Two lovers have a date to meet at 6 o'clock.
At Grand Central Station, under the clock, like in the movie.
I love that movie, but I see it outside.
At the East River, where the tugboats are on the water. I love tugboats.
Almost. You're in the right ballpark.
I know. I know. Under the clock.
Which clock?
The Delacorte clock, where all the animals go around in Central Park.
I love it. It's a very old movie.
My mom and I used to watch old movies together all the time. She would study the decor. Oh, they're so fabulously escapist.
In my version, he's waiting. The music plays, and she never comes. Well, she's waiting, and he chooses the other woman.
Can't they just kiss in the rain? That sounds pretty good to me, even if it is commercial.
Picture yourself.
Okay.
4 minutes to 6. You're pacing up and down. Raindrops are just starting to fall. You're at your Delacorte clock in Central Park, expecting your dermatologist. But he's just diagnosed a carcinoma in his own lip. It's metastasizing as you wait.
All right, will you give me a break? In my version, everything's fine. He meets me, holds me, kisses me. It's lovely. Nobody needs a biopsy.
It's a tough scene. I don't know. I just think that the dialogue is very tough, and I think she did a good job. He did okay. He has ups and downs, I think, throughout this movie.
Yeah, he does. He does. I liked when he sang that song. I was like, oh, that's so nice.
Do you know that song?
I do. That's a Chet Baker song.
No, I don't know the song, but it sounds familiar. It sounds like something you'd want to listen to when things are sad, you know?
I don't know what 21-year-old, you know, however old he's supposed to be, like, is into this kind of music, old movies. He says later on, when he's talking to the hooker, he's like, I just want to play my vinyl. And he mentions, you know, Charlie Parker. I'm like, I don't know.
He's trying to be that eccentric character, you know? you know, he's trying to be Crumb, Robert Crumb.
Ouch.
So he... What happens here, and I didn't think about this until just now, outside of one apartment building, we have Ashley and Jude Law sitting waiting for Connie to come down. And it's almost very Taxi Driver-ish. You remember with Scorsese?
Right. You ever see what a 44 Magnum does to a woman's pussy?
Have you ever seen what a 44 Magnum does, like, he repeats it. But yeah, that's what this scene kind of reminded me of for some reason, at least in my head just now. Should I play that? It's kind of funny. I think it's kind of funny. It goes too far.
Yeah, go ahead.
It goes too far when she says, you know, to take notes and she's actually doing it. Yeah. Yeah, that I think is a bit much. I like the whole thing where she comes out and she's like, the young blonde girl who's just happening to be with him. It's
right. And she has to prove her age. See, that's where she does it really well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Connie.
Ted.
Is this how you're shopping with Judy in Connecticut?
What are you doing here?
Oh, I happen to see you out the window from the car by sheer chance.
Oh, really? Well, that's awkward.
Awkward? Awkward? You've been sleeping with him for months. Haven't you?
Look, we were going to tell you.
When we moved to London?
No.
Your dream that we had moved to London?
It just happened, Ted. Oh. We both fought it.
Yeah, I'm sure you fought it in every hotel room, on every mattress, in the back
you
seat.
You know, this isn't about sex.
It's always about sex. Everything's about sex.
All right.
The economy's about sex.
Okay, you know what? I can't have this outburst with you on the street.
With my best friend. It's such a cliche. I can't
believe
it.
Don't get down on Larry. He adores you. He identifies with you.
I know. He uses my aftershave and my wife.
Who's she?
Ted!
Is everything okay? Oh,
what's that got to do with anything?
Who is she?
Oh, everything's fine. Stay there, Ashley. Keep dry.
I'm with the Yardley Argus.
The what?
Yardley Argus.
She's a reporter doing a piece on Raleigh.
On Raleigh? Well, then what is she doing with you following me?
Don't try and turn this around.
I'm not.
Don't try and turn this around. You've been caught. You were caught.
When you who make a fool of yourself over every young, ambitious starlet.
What are you talking about? You've been having an affair with Larry Lipschitz.
Yeah, and you're spying on me with who? Your 15-year-old concubine.
She's a journalist.
Oh, I'm 21.
She's 21.
Oh, she's 21.
She's a journalist.
I have proof of age, actually.
No, you don't need to. You don't need to.
This always happens in bars.
Oh. You've been caught.
You know what? As long as you're a reporter, I would like to make a press release about my husband.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
can I write this down?
Sure. Go
Ashley,
ahead.
Ashley, please.
Ask him how many times he has been unfaithful to
demented.
Me.
She's demented. You're demented.
The secretary,
wrong.
The actresses,
wrong.
Oh, the poetess.
The poetess.
For pleasure? Were you reading the project?
Stop filling her head with lies. Ashley, come here. Take this address to the studio. Okay, find Raleigh. Come on. Find Raleigh.
I don't know my way around.
So I've seen Connie in something, and it's really killing me now.
That's Rebecca Hall. She was in, I don't know what you would have seen her in. She was.
I'm looking here, and I
little don't... a little known movie about that newscaster who blew her brains out on TV is the one I know.
Hmm. She was in Vicky Cristina Barcelona, but which is of course another Woody Allen movie. She was.
I did not. Oh, why didn't I put that together?
She was Vicky.
With Scarlett Johansson, no less.
Yeah.
Wow! I didn't even like.
Yeah, she played
together.
The lead.
Crazy!
So,
I have to go back and revisit that.
It could be. Yeah, I have to revisit. Maybe that's where I'm kind of. But I'm thinking I saw her in something that is reasonable. Maybe
Iron Man 3.
I did see it, but I don't know what she was in. Who was she in that?
Maya Hansen.
She's way down there. You know what the thing is? You know why she's really mad, right?
Because she hates Woody.
Because Woody Allen didn't make her into the superstar.
She's a known actress, and this is her scene. This is it.
It's not. Yeah,
I was shocked.
And what did she say again?
What do you mean?
What she was so embarrassed or something. Like, this was the worst thing that she had ever done, right?
Oh, in real life. Yeah, like, she was like, I'm embarrassed to have worked with him and been in this movie. She didn't mention Vicky Cristina because that one was a critical hit.
Yes. But, you know, she wouldn't mention another Woody Allen movie that she was the lead in, I guess. But, you know, it's kind of interesting she was the lead in that, but she's almost not to be found here.
She's nothing in this movie. Nothing.
I think it's
again,
a decent
so
support
this,
role, but
the brother and the wife, these threads go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
This Jude Law thing goes nowhere. They lead to nothing.
It's a day in the life, really.
It is. I mean, it's a very picaresque, I guess you could say.
But that's what it's supposed to be. It's a rainy day in New York. It's supposed to have these little moments of chaos.
So Gatsby goes to the museum with Chan, and they bump into his aunt and uncle, and he didn't want to be seen with them.
Yeah.
You know, because they'll tell his mother that he's in town, and he doesn't want his mother to know he's in town because she's having a party, and he doesn't want to go to the party. So now he's got to go to the party.
Should I go to Francisco Vega? That's a funny scene.
Sure.
But it might be visual. A lot of this movie is, you know, that's one of the problems with this movie, is it? It deals with a lot of just physical reactions.
This is where she meets him, right?
Yeah, she walks into a theater looking for Raleigh. Maybe I'm either Raleigh or looking for Jude Law. And she just
he's looking for Raleigh, yep.
And she's just kind of walking around looking for him in this. You know, this is in Astoria, by the way.
I know, and I was going to say, like, she just says, I'm so-and-so, and I'm looking for this very famous director. Can you direct me? And the guard is like, oh, yeah, he's in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you need to have, like, something set up. You can't just walk in there.
Well, she's white, so.
Yeah, this is true.
And that white privilege I keep hearing about. All right, here we go.
Raleigh?
Hello. Can I help you?
Have you seen Mr. Pollard?
By the way, if I'm going to assume this really was shot in that theater, in that
studio,
and that's where Charlie Chaplin worked there and the Marx Brothers worked there, you know, and that's where the Museum of Moving Images. So everybody should go to that if you have the opportunity. It's one of my favorite little museums in New York. And as a matter of fact, one of my son's best friends is actually having a birthday party there.
At the museum of broadcasting?
Yeah. Yeah.
A moving image?
Yeah, it's a
good idea.
I want to
go there. I want to go there on a rainy day in New York with a hot chick in my...
There you go. Named Ashley?
Riley's gone. He left an hour ago.
And this guy comes up like he's Zorro or something.
Which is not racist at all.
Zorro? He's Spanish, right?
Well, he's Spanish and he's playing Zorro. I mean, come on.
I didn't know Spanish isn't really a race.
Did he seem okay?
Well, to be honest, he seemed a little drunk to me. Are you two friends?
Oh my God. You're Francisco Vega.
Is that good or bad?
My roommate was here. She'd hemorrhage. I mean, she thinks you're the greatest thing to come along since the morning after pill. Me too. I can't wait. I'm talking to Francisco Vega. Oh, I mean, look at me. I'm a journalist and I'm reduced to total adolescence. It's just, you're Francisco Vega.
I know that. I guess the key question here is, who are you?
Who am I? Is what?
This is cute. I think this is a very
She's cute
little thing.
She's
no, but
cute.
I mean, this what it's leading to right now, where she's meeting this maybe like a Johnny Depp, let's say, like somebody who's like a really big star, and she's just blanking out. I just think it's kind of cute.
Is that what you're asking? Who I am? I'm my identity.
Yeah. Is it coming to you?
Oh, I can't believe I'm blanking on it.
Check your driver's license.
Right. Yeah, okay. Right. Okay, I'm Ashley Enright.
I knew it would be on there.
I work for the Yardley Argus. I write for them. I'm here in New York because I'm interviewing Mr. Pollard. Wow. We look exactly the same, but better.
It's like the ultimate groupie. And, you know, she's in, like, you know, a nice short skirt. You know,
yep,
she's just went through the rain. You know, it's time for. But I think this is very funny, the way it kind of spirals out of control almost immediately.
Let me tell you something. It looked more beautiful than any journalist I've ever met. You would make a very sexy anchor woman.
How can you say that when you're in the papers every week with those dime models and actresses? Where are we going?
Not now, guys. Not now. Come on. Give us a break.
There's paparazzi taking pictures.
I guess that happens, right? I guess that happens.
With the paparazzi part?
Yeah. But then my favorite cameo, and this is where, again, you have to read some of this, read in between the lines. My favorite cameo is where this gets on TV.
Yes.
So that Gatsby sees.
It's the that's why I laughed out loud when I saw that. I just thought it was so perfect.
Where New York One is covering it. But not only that, the guy on New York One, whose name I can't remember, he's saying, well, go get her, Francisco. They don't need our help. They don't need our encouragement. They're just going to go bang each other. That's basically what they're saying. That's when you're like, wow, he's really – the director's really
– Right, right.
Francisco doesn't need our encouragement.
Right. Do you want me to play that?
Yeah, if you want. I mean, again, just listen to the New York One cameo.
I do want to just mention, though, that Gatsby before this
goes to a poker game.
Out of nowhere. Like, yeah, what is this? Just stuff that goes on?
Well, his brother had told him about it, and the brother was going to sit in but couldn't go. So he said Gatsby should take his spot.
Now, do you think he made money? Because he's dumping money out.
He does, yeah. Yeah. And he says that he won – what did he say, 15,000?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. He won 15 grand.
That's why he gives 5,000 to the hooker we're about to meet soon. Mm.
So he goes back to the hotel and he turns on the television.
At times, and more of it tomorrow, mostly cloudy, with a chance of showers in the late afternoon.
On a brighter note, Francisco Vega is in town with his new main squeeze on his arm. All our spies could find out is that she's Ashley Enright, a beauty queen from Tucson, Arizona.
Although they were spotted later having drinks over candlelight and apparently exchanging sweet nothings.
I was Miss Aviability in Scottsdale, but, you know, not really a big deal.
So.
Hilarious. It's just.
Wait, keep going.
Good luck, Francisco. We're all rooting for you.
A gorgeous couple, as if they need our help.
New York One would never editorialize like that.
But you know what? In the entertainment section of these things, like, you never know. They might.
God, what is that guy's name? I was going to say Pat Sajak, but no.
I don't know. I don't watch New York One.
You don't watch New York One? You're in New York One and you don't watch New York One?
I don't watch TV. We don't subscribe to TV. People still subscribe to TV? We don't watch live TV.
Shut up. I'm going to cut the cord soon.
Yeah, right. Old man Hassler needs his CNN. cut the cord now is what I
what
say.
What needs his Knicks?
You need what?
I need the Food Channel, the Food Network.
I have all of that. It's just.
I know.
You know what you got to do? Just do it. Your kids will get Disney Plus. Your kids will be happy.
That's not Disney Plus, by the way. Oh, did you get that?
Yeah, I just canceled it. I'm like, all right, what are we going to watch? You know?
Really?
This is like nothing. To really watch. I mean, I'll wait until one of these subscription companies offer it to me for free. Seems like they're giving it away with everything.
True.
But I signed up the day you could sign up, and we watched everything we wanted to watch. Mandalorian, and I don't know what else. All the other stuff I have on my server, so it's easier to watch it off of my server.
I'm sorry, real slight diversion. So yeah. I actually watched The Mandalorian. So what did you think of it?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I had no expectations. So I walked in thinking this is going to be a complete shit show. And I walked away thinking, I watched it with my son. We both, we enjoyed it enough to look forward to season two. What about you?
The thing that's keeping
Baby
me.
Baby Yoda is too cute, right?
You know, I'm on the fence about Baby Yoda. That is shameless.
It's perfect.
First of all, how can you have a Baby Yoda if Yoda's...
Well, it's not really Yoda.
Is it not Baby Yoda?
No, it's not. The name of the character is called The Child.
I thought that was just disguising.
No. Because this takes place after Yoda died.
Right. That's why I'm all confused.
He's from the Yoda species.
The only thing that keeps me is maybe Baby Yoda, although they relied too much on the Baby Yoda for the awe factor. But I liked like the guest stars like Carl Weathers.
Oh yeah, he was pretty good.
Nick Nolte. You know, I was all right. That's keeping me there. It's hard to like each episode is like half an hour.
You know, it's weird. It goes from like about 40 minutes to an hour.
40 minutes?
So it's like, an hour. You think of it, it's like an hour syndicated show. And not to totally diverge, but now we have Peacock coming from NBC.
I know, free.
I don't think it's going to be free, is it?
Yeah, no, I heard it's going to be free. They're...
Well, it's going to Battlestar Galactica. they're not rebooting it. They are continuing it. From what I understand.
Oh.
Now, did you watch Battlestar Galactica?
This recent thing?
Yes.
No.
It was incredible. Incredible? Yes. All right. We have to get back to Woody Allen in a moment, but the new Battlestar Galactica, which I think is 2003 to something, is so good. It's in my top five favorite TV shows.
Of all time?
Of all time. Yep.
Whoa.
I've been begging my wife to watch it. She won't watch it. She's like, Aaron, looks like they're like living in a closet. No, it's so good. It is really, really good. Another show that's on my radar that I really enjoyed the first season of, and you know about the show, and one of somebody we both know is in the credits, is His Dark Materials. Deborah Forte is in the credits.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but it's a very, very good series. They really nailed Philip Pullman's book series really beautifully. I don't know if you've read those books.
I have not.
Oh, those are – get your daughters to read that. It's like Harry Potter, but a lot more mature, and the main character is a female. And she's badass. You know, badass.
That movie that they did, The Golden Compass.
With the Tom Cruise girl.
I think Daniel Craig was in it too, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I tried watching it. I watched the first 15 minutes. It was the worst thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
Oof.
The Golden Compass. But you will not regret. That's on HBO, though. You will not regret. It's only like 8 episodes. And but anyway.
All right, maybe we'll watch that.
But yeah, with Peacock, they're doing that. And there's some other reboots that Peacock is doing, which sound terrible. It was one that sounded really terrible.
Uh-oh. I have to look into this.
It'll come to me. All right, let's play a little bit of Meanwhile back in New York where it's raining out with the sun.
Where Gatsby meets the hoe.
Yeah, she's good looking too.
She is smoking hot. Again, old man's view of things. I mean, hookers don't look like this. Even the $500 a trick ones.
You know, it's one of those things, I think, where we don't know. You know, it's one of those. It could be, maybe. I like to think that they do look like this. And then start counting my money. It's like, how much do I have in my PayPal? Do you accept Venmo?
And the actress is not terrible, you know?
No, she's a good-looking woman.
You know, the fact that she's playing a hoe is...
She's the best-looking woman in the movie. I know you like Selena Gomez.
Second.
I'm just saying she's classic. She's a beautiful woman. Like,
she's
a bombshell. Yeah.
Bombshell, that's it.
Bombshell. She's like Kim Basinger back in the good old days.
But wait, you know, we should post. When we post this, there's a shot of Elle Fanning in her underwear in this movie that if you could just get a frame of that and post it, we could like really start fires with that.
Yeah. Be like, me too.
No. We should.
Oh, man. All right. We're going to
get us known.
Yeah, it's going to get a shot. And have a bunch of feminists on my lawn screaming.
As long as they're hot, I don't care.
They'll be screaming one to burn the house down, and the other ones will be like, oh, look, but he's a cute dog. All right, so here's where they meet.
Who else?
What's the matter, Gatsby? You seem blue.
My girlfriend dumped me for a movie star.
Ooh. Well, you know what they say. Can't fight charisma.
You know who she looks a lot? She reminds me a lot of. And I'm not going to remember her name. But a blonde girl from the early 90s who was like an up-and-coming hot girl. She was in The Big Lebowski in a very tiny role. You know what I'm talking about? She got all this like plastic surgery and stuff.
Ooh.
I'll find her. But that's who she looked. That's who she reminds me of. This is what I thought she would look like when she got older.
Ouch.
But instead, I think she hit the bottle.
I didn't want to drink in my room alone.
Oh, are you staying here?
No, I've been coming here since they used to only serve me ginger ales by law. I love the piano players. Now I'm old enough to order gin and vermouth.
Time flies.
Yeah, unfortunately, it flies, Coach.
What's that supposed to mean?
It's not always a comfortable trip.
Tara Reid.
I think this woman is even more gorgeous than Tara Reid.
But I thought Tara Reid would grow up and look like that. That was my hope and dream.
Tell me about it.
What are you doing here all alone?
Working.
What do you do?
I make dreams come true.
How do you do that?
Use your imagination.
Wink, wink. Who winks? That's a Woody Allen. It's like, yeah, they wink. It's like, how are you supposed to convey? Mr. Allen, how do we convey that she's a hooker? I don't know. Have a wink. That's what they do, right? They wink. A dirty wink.
Ooh, wow.
Should we go someplace where we can be more alone?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, why not?
Okay. I get 500, sweetie.
500. Right.
I know what you're thinking. 500 seems pretty steep, but it's New York.
How'd you like to make 5,000?
5,000?
Mm-hmm.
To do what?
Just be my date for a few hours at a party. Clothes stay on, no fondling, no exchange of fluids. Just a little role playing.
What kind of party?
Just my mom's big fall. Bullshit blowout. I won 15 G's in a poker game and I need a date with me. Classy item who answers the name of Ashley Enright.
So, one other thing is he's constantly just, he's no regard for money.
Right.
That's another thing.
Well, he comes from that background, but yeah. Like, again, douche. Why would the world watching this movie, who are probably poor like me, you know, why am I in your corner if you're just going to be a douche all the time?
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing. We always liked Woody Allen's characters because we always kind of had a little bit of us in him, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's nothing.
Like, and they weren't such a douche. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. I guess I was the douche, but I just didn't have the money.
Oh, zing.
You know, we're all young ones, but the, so he brings a hooker home to meet mom. should we play that?
Yeah, let's play Gatsby at the Party. Was that 109?
Which is probably the cringe. It's very cringy here. It's.
Why do you say that?
You know, when he's sitting there and he's just going on and on and on about himself. You like this?
There's some funny lines here. And again, if he was doing it a little lighter, instead he's like, I know it, this is the character.
Like overly comfortable and.
But he's like being overly harsh. Harshly condescending to everybody there. And I just thought I know that's the character, but if he could have just played it a little lighter, I wouldn't say you're a douche to everybody.
Yeah, I agree with you. And again, this is another beautiful apartment or house.
Look at those stairs.
God, the stairs alone are worth like 200 grand more. It's
crazy.
If you always intended to come, you should have told us. As you know, I am not fond of surprises.
Mother, Dad, this is my girlfriend, Ashley Enright.
Hi, how are you?
How lovely to meet you, Ashley.
You too.
Hello, it's a pleasure.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Nice to meet you.
I've done business with your father.
Yes, he speaks very highly of you.
Actually, I've never met him. It's his bank.
Yeah, he's got so many banks.
He has so many banks. The mom is giving her the stink eye immediately.
She knows.
This girl is way out of her son's reach.
So, how are things at Yardley?
It's very quiet, you know. We get a lot of snow in the winter, that sort of thing.
Right.
Very rural. But I chose it because they have a great Kurdish studies program, yes.
Have you thought more about a career? Your father was bemoaning the fact that you were still undecided.
Well, you know, I have, Leonard. And I want to go into nuclear physics, maybe open a little store, sell dark matter.
He's kidding you. No, he likes to sit at the piano and sing and play blackjack.
And when you were a boy, your mother wanted you to be a concert pianist.
Well, she always had big plans for me.
How about you, Ashley? What are your plans?
Well, she wants to be a journalist, actually.
TV or print?
Yeah, political TV. Stuff. She'll I'd report like from weather. All the trouble spots.
On the weather.
That's the best punchline in this whole thing. I got to rewind it again because I forgot that the laugh is there. This is one of my favorite moments here. Just the laugh is so perfect.
Journalist, actually.
TV or print?
Yeah, political TV. Stuff. She'll I'd report like from weather. All the trouble spots.
On the weather.
It's just so funny because everyone's face is like, what the hell? It's like a Fran Drescher laugh. That's what God, it kind of reminded me of.
Jesus Christ.
So he stays there. What's next? What do you think?
Well, we don't care what happens with Ashley. Again, like Roland, the director, wants to take her to France, which she declines. She has a scene with Jude Law, who says, oh, thanks for coming with me today. And he's very touchy-feely with her, and he's like, in my version of that scene, I fall in love with her. And that's never – you know, nothing comes of that.
Yeah.
And then she goes home with Diego, who's like freaking manhandling her, and she likes it and gets into her underwear. And this is where you should take the still. But then his girlfriend comes home, so she gets – she doesn't even have time to get dressed. She goes out on the fire escape and she's locked out. This is like, I mean, again, this whole thing, 85-year-old director thinks it's fresh. This thing, this kind of stuff was done like, man, in the 40s.
Yeah, it's not.
You know, it's terrible.
Yeah, I'm looking for, I have to work on a shot for.
I really liked Elle Fanning in this, and I wish her story went somewhere else. But
she's smoking pot at one point. I just thought it was very uncharacteristic for the character.
She was drinking at the party, and now she's drinking, smoking weed at his house, and she's ready to throw herself at him.
Yeah, and she's even saying like she doesn't really have a boyfriend.
Right. And she's like, I am going to, you know, she talks to herself and says, I will make love to him because it'll be a story I could tell my kids.
Yeah. It's so weird.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. And so
I don't know if you want to play the talk with mom, which is supposed to wrap up.
Yeah.
Gatsby's whole story. Like it explains him in a way. And I'm like, that was quick.
And it really has a big change on him, except he's still kind of a dick.
Yeah.
So yeah, here's mom coming in.
And mom?
What?
Mom is Cherry Jones. She's great in the scene. I just want.
What is she? Her. I mean, I think I've seen her in stuff when she was younger. I don't know.
Probably younger. She was in that movie about the nun. Or it was with Philip Seymour Hoffman, or maybe that was a stage play. No, I think she was in that. I think she's like a stage actress more than.
Well, I thought she was good in this role for the most part. So here we go.
I want to have a word with you.
Oh, no, no, please don't do this to me tonight, Mom. I'm not really in the mood for one of your tete-a-tetes where I come out on the short end as always. I really couldn't take it tonight, okay? Where's Ashley?
I asked her to leave.
What? Why?
Don't give me that Ashley bullshit. I smelled hooker the second she walked through the door.
Mother,
best
you
line
hear
coming
yourself?
Up.
Damn right I hear myself.
I'm shocked. Okay, I apologize. I met her in the bar at the Carlisle and I gave her $5,000 to pretend she was Ashley, who has dumped me.
$5,000? It was worth that much for you to make a fool of your father and me?
I was in a bad mood. It was my idea of a joke, so it was a bad joke, okay? I won a lot in a card game, so it was an act of rebellion.
It was an act of hostility.
Hostility and rebellion.
Rebellion against what? Private schools, a nice home, summers in Europe?
Against a life of pretentious appropriateness. Appropriate friends, appropriate schools, appropriate women that you may or may not approve of.
You resent me because I set a high bar.
Mother, I don't resent you because you set a high bar. I just want you to see me. I'm never going to be like Hunter. I'm not going to roll off the assembly line and make you proud.
You lied to me when you said that you were too busy to come to my party, that you were too busy at work, snowed under at Yardley.
You know what, Mom? I did lie to you because I didn't want to come to your party, all right? I wanted to spend the day with Ashley in the city and have a great time.
Where is Ashley?
I told you she dumped me. We became separated. The city has its own agenda.
And your rage with me is so great that you express it by bringing home a whore?
An escort, Mother.
Oh, let's not split pubic hairs.
Anything to shake up our collection of appropriate snobs.
So you bring her to my gala as your girlfriend to make a fool of me?
You know what, Mom? I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm like this. I don't know where I get this perverse streak in my system from. I don't know.
You get it from me.
Oh, yeah, I get it from you? Oh, yeah, the queen of good taste.
All right. You're a big enough boy to hear the whole inappropriate story.
So before she goes on with the story, I do want to mention, yeah, Cherry Jones is in pre-production for a movie called The Eyes of Tammy Faye, which is about, about Jim Baker. Now, Jerry Falwell's going to be in this as well and being played by Vincent D'Onofrio.
I got to think about that one.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big character.
I got to think about that one.
He's a big, you know, interesting person. Jessica Chastain, I don't know if you know who she is.
She's playing
Tammy Faye Baker. Andrew Garfield is playing Jim Baker.
This is a cast.
I mean, you got some people here, man. It's, I recognize the faces of some of the other people, but I don't know who they are. Sam Yeager. I've seen him in stuff. Frederick Lane, Lindsay Iliff, Chandler Head. Anyway, it looks like it might be a decent movie. It's in pre-production, should be out this year.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I met your father in the exact same line of work. An escort service. Or more to the point, booking. As that working girl you tried to slip past us as Ashley Enright.
What?
Lower your eyebrows. I knocked on your father's hotel room door because that's how I made my living. Fresh from Gary, Indiana. Providing the lonely male of the species with a little casual recreation.
So she helped fund their first business. And, you know, with the money that she made hooking. And that's where their family fortune came from.
I find it hard to believe that this character, Gatsby, would roll with this the way he
so
does,
easily.
You know?
Yeah.
Again, we're getting to the end of the movie. We got to wrap it up.
Yeah.
But I was like, and that's that.
And yeah. Like, I think, but you know what? Somebody like Gatsby, I think, would also enjoy this serious skeleton in his closet.
I don't know. Douche to everybody. So,
well, he's going to continue being a douche. So this doesn't. This just changes the people who he's going to be a douche to. So yeah, he does accept it. We have another moment with Gatsby playing at the hotel piano. I don't know if you want to hear that. That's
right. This is where Ashley and he finally meet back up again after she's been through everything.
Yeah, Ashley basically grabbed a raincoat or trench coat and went out wearing nothing but her knickers and probably walked, right? She, like, her phone, everything is left there. It's just gone.
Right?
Like, she couldn't just
for it.
He couldn't just, like, ball up her crap and throw it out. Oh, my God.
And again, I just think he's going to talk to her like a dick.
Yeah.
Put up the chairs and then you're done. Right? Oh, hey, Gatsby.
Hey, Johnny.
Mm-hmm. I saw you on television.
Nothing happened. Really exhausted. Been walking forever. And then I got lost on the train.
Ashley, you were with a famous movie star.
But nothing happened.
I'd love to believe you.
Just too many drinks. Too much weed. I'm just a little too tired to explain. Tomorrow, I promise. But really, Gatsby, nothing happened.
Well, take off your raincoat. I'm gonna get you some black coffee.
I can't. I have no clothes underneath. So the Roland Pollard, it was like a spiritual thing. You know, I was a muse.
So, yeah, so the next day she's, you know, cleaned up. You know, she cleans up well. And
gorgeous.
Yeah, perfectly fine. So, yeah, the next day she basically explains what had happened. And I think that he's just still thinking about his mom, really, right?
Yep.
Perfect. And you wrote here that he shares the epiphany about his mom. But right. Does he? I don't remember him doing that.
Yeah, what? Listen, roll
I'm going to let it roll.
Some inspiration because he's really going through a rough creative period. And also, my name's totally the same as his first wife's, who also went to Yardley, who he's never really gotten over. And then Ted Davidoff. I mean, he was just absolutely traumatized by this affair that his wife was having with his best friend. And there I was, you know, just a person there to talk to hold his hand during a crisis, you know?
What about Francisco Vega? James Dean, minus the acting chops.
Francisco Vega was just after my body, but I was on to him. And I got terrific material for a hot story. I dated a hunk. So what about you? How was going to your mom's soiree?
It's pretty nice, actually. Yeah, we got into sort of a crazy conversation, and the first time in my life, she surprised me in a good way. Now I feel closer to her.
Must have been a big talk.
Why?
What'd you discuss?
The oldest profession.
All right.
Journalism?
Mm-mm.
That's the second oldest.
Let's put it this way. She's a lot more than I gave her credit for. I sold her short.
What a shame we never got to take that carriage ride.
Well, we'll still do it. We have plenty of time. We can get it in. Said the John to my mom.
What?
Nothing. Look, we should probably leave our luggage downstairs. As you know, I'd hate to miss our bus back to Yardley.
It is kind of a dick comment. But he didn't really tell her. He just more alluded to it.
Right, because he's treating her like shit.
Yeah. But he probably thinks that, you know, she completely hooked up with everyone.
Right.
In all
right.
fairness. But here's
go ahead.
I love the carriage ride because I think this is where he actually shows how much of a douche he really is.
Oh my God.
Did you ever do the carriage ride through the park?
I haven't.
No, me either. Just not something that I think New Yorkers do. Do they still have the horses?
I think they do.
Didn't de Blasio or Cuomo say, no more horses, we're going to have electric cars?
Really? I thought now they not only stay in and around the park, it's like they go everywhere, don't they?
Was it like the first thing? I have to look that up. I think it was like a big backlash, I guess. Maybe the backlash stopped it from happening.
Me too. Horses too.
Oh my God, horses. Believe all horses. All right.
New York on a misty day. Horse. Can't tell why it means something to me, but it means everything.
It's our one carriage ride and the weather's gloomy. I couldn't really sleep last night. You hear all those fire engines?
I did. The roaring traffic's boom. Silence in my lonely room.
I know that.
Watch his expression.
Right?
What a dick.
Sir, could you stop for a second?
Why are we stopping?
Ashley, you go back to Yardley. okay, I'm going to stay in New York.
What?
I need the carbon monoxide to survive.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. We're two different creatures, right? You like the sound of crickets, and I like the rattle of the taxis. You blossom in the sun, and me, and I come into my own under gray skies. And look, you were a big hit here. You were a crackerjack reporter. You were loved spiritually, emotionally, and physically by three gifted men, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be with me. You deserve better than me.
But you're dropping out of Yardley.
What?
He's being condescending to her.
Completely.
If I don't sound too pretentious.
And he's giving her money now.
Yeah, exactly.
What the hell's that about?
I want to review my other options. Excuse me, sir. You think it's possible to take her to the Pier Hotel?
Gatsby, I don't understand.
Right, take this, and you get your luggage,
really,
and
understand.
Just make your way safely back to Yardley,
so,
okay?
That's like a bunch of hundreds, by the way. It's kind of like, what?
But you're not coming back to Yardley.
I don't know, Ashley. I got to figure some stuff out of my life. But look, have a great trip, and you tell everybody at Yardley I say goodbye,
so
right?
You're not coming back to Yardley? Yeah. Gatsby, wait, sir,
It's like, can I have your PlayStation?
Gatsby, I don't understand.
This is a funny line.
Oh, God, could you hurry? I think it's starting to rain.
This clock, I was completely unaware that existed.
In the zoo? Isn't it by the zoo?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I probably walked past it. I never paid attention to it, you know. But it's basically a clock with motorized animals.
And music.
And music, yeah. But it's just one of those really kind of cool things. I mean, it's one of those things in New York that really Woody Allen beautifully points out, you know, things. He really does know how to find the beauty of the city and really push it. And it really makes you kind of want to, like you were saying before, it makes you want to really just kind of go there. Not enough for me to take a 40-minute trip. but nonetheless, a place that you do want to return to.
If this girl was waiting for you, you would.
No, a little too rich for me.
So he meets up with Chan and they kiss, and I like this ending.
Yeah,
even though I know he's a douche.
Yeah, but you know what? Chan can handle him. Her character is strong enough.
You're right.
She might straighten him out. Do you want to hear the music? Or
yeah, I mean the music can take us out. I mean, so
yeah. All right. Well, Chris, thank you very much for this controversial episode.
Yes, on this snowy evening in...
Yeah, it's very snowy. Let me look outside right now. There's slush out there right now. It's not
really? It's white here, so I guess it hasn't turned to rain yet.
Yeah. But, nonetheless, drive safely tomorrow. Tomorrow's Sunday, so... Stay in.
Stay in.
No reason. But, as always, you go to VHSRewind.com, check us out. You can find all types of ridiculous movies and shows that we've reviewed, and that's about it. I feel rusty doing a show for some reason. We haven't
we'll
done one in a while.
It.
Yeah, we will. And looking forward to the next one. It will be a surprise. And I'm looking forward to that. I haven't watched it yet. Have you started watching it?
I have not.
Okay, me either. The trailer was amazing, so I thought, you know, should be good.
I'm looking forward.
All right, man. Thank you, and I'll talk to you next time. Here's the music.
How did I know you'd be here?
You didn't think I was going to blow this moment, did you?
What about the skin doctor?
Very handsome. Very rich and very clever, but I'm here.
For a kisser who's a maximum of an 8?
It's fall. By spring, I'll have you up to 10.